We understand stories because we are stories. We are stories made up of stories inside the stories of a story. Once upon a time, my sister told me that if you don't like bacon, you aren't human. Well, I don't like bacon, and I was too young to understand sarcasm, so I believed that I was different. Believed I wasn't human. So I stood watching bewilderedly like those kids at zoos do, faces pushed up against the cages of the animals. An outside observer in awe of the mighty creatures before me. In awe of the way that they loved and the way that they hated. The way they destroyed and the way they created. The way that they laughed and the way that they cried. The way they got hurt and yet they still tried. The way they got hurt and yet they still tried. In awe of the way that they thought what I was thinking. And the way I got what they were thinking. The ways my prior misconception could change because of the ways that we were the same. The way that I was human. Because there's something that sets this human race apart. Because it's more than just a race with human parts. And once upon a time, my father told me that life is like soccer. You've got to be relentless, but you can't just run around senseless. So if you want to turn who you want to be into who you are, then you have to work real hard. And since I was a boy, I've learned that my dad was more right than he knew. But don't tell him I said that. Because in soccer, you work really hard to build up to a goal, and then something happens, and you have to start all over. And much like in life, in soccer, there are no timeouts. Just like in life, you have your coaches, your mentors, and your family to teach you, but when you get out in the real game, you're all on your own. But you're never completely alone, because you have your teammates. And you learn very quickly that there are 10 people on the field that are for you, but there will always be 11 against you. You learn that one goal can win the game, but one mistake can lose it. You learn that you win some, and you learn that you lose some, and that when you fall down, you have to use your momentum from falling to bounce back up, and that even if you don't score, sometimes it's worth shooting. You learn that the game is not all about you. That it's about the team, and that it's not about winning championships, but building relationships, for without the water that warrants boats to stay afloat, they are all just sinking ships, engulfed by the very water that once held them up. And once upon a time, my grandpa told me to never take the opportunities I have for granted. See, my grandpa's a musician. He plays the clarinet and the saxophone. So when I was in band, my grandpa gave me his old saxophone. This old piece of rusty brass with this funky smell. The stink that lingered on your lips hours after kissing the mouthpiece. It reminded you of those parts of your past that it feels like you'll never be able to escape. My mom sat that thing out on the porch for weeks to try to get rid of that smell. But that never worked. So when I walked in a band on the first day and everybody else had these new, shimmering bells of beautiful brass, I was jealous. Just of how you could see your reflection in the keys, how the brass shined when the light hit it, how they didn't have to try to hold their breath between songs because of the stench of their instrument. Being a kid, I didn't realize that my instrument was actually nicer than all my classmates. All that I saw was the rust, and all that I smelled was the stink. I was embarrassed to claim ownership of this rusty little saxophone, with one of its keys dangling like a leaf on a tree waiting to be whisked away by the wind. So every time someone asked, "Hey, where'd you get that?" I was quick to respond, "Oh, this? This is my grandpa's." To shift the shame of being its owner onto him. But one day my grandpa told me about how he, as a boy, would lock himself in his closet and practiced his clarinet for hours as his drunken dad yelled in the other room. He told me about how music was his escape, how he found himself in the gap between his mouth and his reed, as titillating notes got out of the bell of his horn, spilled out onto the floor, and fled the room up to the ceiling, till they were everywhere around him, till they were inside him, until he began to drown in them, until the satisfying suffocation by sound filled his lungs with a blissful burning of belonging. He told me that in that closet with his clarinet was the only place he felt himself. Until the day he met this girl with a big heart and a brave soul. And since the day they've met, they've been a perfect set. They tied the knot, they found a good spot, and they settled down in a little town to start a family of six. Brick by brick, they built a house. And story by story, they built a home. And long after that house is sold, those stories will still be told. Stories of a time when the boys would swing for the hedges, playing home run derby. When the kids would swing from the tire on the now fallen tree. When they would drive through a storm to the store in a nearby city. And Grandma would tell her kids how she could stop the rain. It took them years to figure out that she only stopped it when they were driving under overpasses. On this day, my grandpa talked about how he had to work in his closet alone to become who he is, and how I had others there to support me, how I should never forget that, how fortunate I am for that. He explained that no matter the size of the storm that surrounds them, he always feels himself with my grandma around him, because that girl can stop the rain. So if you find what you love and who you love, you should never let go of either. He told me that if you find what you love and who you love, never let go of either. And from that day on, when somebody asked me at school, "Hey, where'd you get that?" I held up my head, I puffed out my chest, making space for the bubbling pride that consumed me, and I proclaimed, "Oh, this? My grandpa gave it to me." Because I was proud of that rust. I was proud of that stink. I was proud of that story. Of the boy with the clarinet, the girl that stops the rain, and their brown-eyed grandbaby, who plays the clarinet out of the side of his mouth just like his grandpa did. We are all stories. We are stories made up of stories inside the stories of a story. All of these and other memories are just fragments in time that mount in mortar to become the mosaic of me, that tell you who I am and who I will be. We are all made up of stories like these. Some things that have been told to us, some more that have happened to us, and all of them have molded us so that all that they result in is us. Now pay attention, because this part's on you. Stories are meant to be told, so when you push and scrunch and fold and squirrel them away like nuts, it's like butterflies being locked in a box, beauty just collecting dust. Let them go. Let them fly. Draw near, you stained glass chapel windows, you stained glass chapel windows, you stained glass chapel windows. Dazzle me with dancing rays of color, dip my ears in hymns of holy praises echoing the sounds of heaven, dunk me in your broken hallelujahs, drown me in the stories of your sorrow, divulge your desires for tomorrow, dump buckets of held back tears on me, and then dry me off with the warmth from your smile. Because a single smile from you will light up the sky, will turn it a brighter blue. And even when a storm comes through, you'll simply turn to me and I to you, and we will carry each other's umbrellas. Because I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be buried under the weight of your own umbrella. And I know what it's like to be the kid in the corner with something to say but without the words to say it. And I know what it's like to be a ship in a sea filled with fish that seem to know where they're going and only know where I've been. And I know what it's like to hate taking attendance. As the roll call circles the room and it comes to you and you fear the ring of the one word that you have to say because it's only one word. And one word that you don't have the time to fix the way you say. Running it through your head over and over, here, here, here. And I know what it's like to wonder if our lives are like that word. One small, probably insignificant word that you don't have time to fix the way you say. Running it through your head over and over, here, here, here. But most importantly, I know that that word is here, 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 right now. And that right now, right here, is all that matters. We are stories. We are stories made up of stories inside the stories of a story. Our memories are stories we remember, and years are tales we write from January to December. When our light goes out, our stories are our ember, a glowing residue of splendor that our loved ones hold so tender. We are all stories, and in 100 years that's all we'll be. That'll be the way my friends and family remember me. Yes, we are all living, breathing stories, and when you put us together, we produce a society. And in the story of humanity, modern society is just a short soliloquy. But that's not to say that we don't matter. Because the most profound statements are made when no one is listening. Because we don't live or love to be remembered. We love and live and love because we're human. Because we are stories. And we understand stories.